Prime Minister will also say anyone with a conviction for extremist activity will be barred from working with children and vulnerable people. If we turn to the Trojan horse story, as it's known in the Midlands, how many people involved in that actually had convictions, Home Secretary?
Well, we are talking about the those people who've been convicted for terror offences.
Well, the answer to my question is none. So it would have had absolutely no impact on the Trojan horse situation, which is where it was seen that certain Islamist leaders were trying to indoctrinate children. It would have had no effect at all on that.
Well, Nick, I'm sorry, but what you're saying is you're taking one measure and saying in one circumstance it wouldn't have had an impact. Mm. The whole point about the counter-extremism strategy is that it is wide-ranging. There are a number of measures within this, and we're not pretending that a single measure is the one thing that is going to make all the difference. It's about the activity across the board, and there are four key areas in which we're going to be taking action in the counter-extremism strategy. We're going to be countering the extremist ideology. We're going to be working with community groups to promote mainstream voices. Yes, there are will be measures about disrupting extremists, but also about building more cohesive communities.
But how comfortable are you with Muslim schools?
Well, I think it's important that we do have Muslim schools. I'm very clear about that. And if you look, and you've quoted the Trojan horse issue in Birmingham, of course, that was where schools which weren't Muslim schools, actually mainstream schools in the state sector, where people in Peter Clark's, as Peter Clark said when he did the review...
He's a former counterism chief officer. Just remind my listeners. Go ahead, Home Secretary.
Yes, yep. And he came out, he went after his review, he said there was a concerted, a deliberate effort to try and promote a particularly intolerant and aggressive Islamic ethos in those schools. And obviously, the Department for Education has taken measures, taken steps now in relation to school governorship. So that's another example where this is about actually acting across the board. And it's not just about taking action against extremism, it's also about promoting the values that we share that underpin our society here in the UK.
Also, the Prime Minister will talk about suspected jihadists returning from Syria being forced to attend classes, confronting, his words, their warped outlook. Who will be the mentors?
Well, we're working on the de-radicalisation programme at the moment. We've had a programme in operation for some time now called Channel, which is about those people who are on...
But I mean, there wouldn't be much point putting a fat white bloke like me in front of a group of suspected jihadists, would there? It has to be a Muslim talking to other Muslims, doesn't it, Home Secretary?
Well, the whole point about de-radicalisation programmes and radicalisation programmes is that you have to choose the programme that is going to suit the particular circumstances of the individual. There are people from the Muslim community who are part of the groups. There are a number of groups that the government has worked with in the Channel programme. I say we're putting the de-radicalisation programme together.
So the mentors will be Muslims then?
Well, there will be a variety of people who will be acting on these programmes. We're putting that programme together at the moment.
Do you think a non-Muslim could get through to a possible radicalised Muslim?
Well, I'm not quite sure what the purpose of the question is, Nick, because...
Well, I just want to make sure we get the right people for the job, as I'm sure you do.
We will, absolutely. But I have to say, Nick, I'm not sure that on this broadcast we're going to be able to identify the people who are going to be best able to de-radicalise. We already have experience of doing this through the Channel programme of people working with groups who work with people who are on the path of radicalisation. Now we're looking at a programme that will deal with those who've been radicalised. It's more of a de-radicalisation programme.
And lastly, how helpful is it to ask Muslim parents to shop their children?
Well, I think if parents are concerned that their children may be about to leave to go to Syria to take part potentially in being trained and in fighting with all the dangers that means to them, I think it's right that parents should have this ability
and
to ask.
And do you think
they will,
lastly, Home Secretary?
Some parents will, but... I know, for example, there's an organisation called Families Against Stress and Trauma, and Saleha Jaffa, who runs that organisation, I've met her, I've heard the testimony of parents whose children have gone to Syria and have been involved in fighting, some of whom have died. Huge trauma, huge stress, huge distress for families as a result of that. And I think, yes, it is right that we do something to give parents that extra ability to ask for their children's passports to be suspended. But what we want to see is actually that we don't get to the point where children have been radicalised, where they've heard that message and want to go to fight in Syria. What we want to do is to ensure that we're dealing with that extremist message at an earlier point.